What's on your mind right now? The song you can't get out of your head? That breaking story? Or that conversation you just have to be a part of?
That's the brand new song from...
This is a breaking news report.
He shoots! He scores!
That's radio. Happening now. Connecting you to what matters most exactly when it's happening. From the airwaves to every device you stream on, radio is everywhere you are. It's local, live, and it's for you. Tag your favorite radio station tomorrow on social media and use hashtag National Radio Day to celebrate. That's hashtag National Radio Day.
I think if you go to the Yankee bar, you'll have yourself a good time listening
There's
to this.
There's no Yankee bar there. Not going to be able to watch baseball. I don't think they know what baseball is.
Mike Piazza brought baseball to Italy.
That's a good point. And Micah Piazza?
They know who Vinny Pascatino is.
I doubt it. Oh, boy. I'm looking forward to it. It's going to be fun. And the weather is supposed to be beautiful, not supposed to be that hot, thankfully. About 87 to 89 degrees every day.
Woo.
Perfect. Perfect.
Now, are you guys by the coast?
Yeah. My wife has done most of the planning, but yes, we're in Sicily. We're by Palermo. I'm flying into Palermo, and I think it's only like 25 minutes from the airport of Palermo. So, but her and her family have been planning it. Like, this is a Viviano thing. That's my wife's main name. This is a her family trip. You know, I've been kind of on the outside, and I'm not used to it because we are such Disney people. We have become Disney people. And it's funny, too, because I've railed against Disney for years. Before I was a dad, I said two things. And I'm assuming no children are up at 3:05. I'm going to give a little warning here. If there are any if you have children with you who are listening, don't change the channel, but, you know.
Let's just keep it FCC sensitive.
Well, I'm definitely not going to curse. I might say something that parents might not want me to say in front of certain children. Before I was a father, I always said these two things. One, I'm not going to Disney World every year. When I was a kid, we only went once. I was 12. Did nothing for me. It was okay. We had a decent enough time. But I don't know. We went like a whole big family thing. I don't have any real memories of it. It was cool.
12's a little old for Disney.
Yeah, I know. It was just
For the first time.
Right, yeah. So it was just And then the other thing I always said was, you know, I'm going to just tell my kids that, no, let me put it this way so no one's listening. No one might get mad. No, I buy you things at Christmas because I love you. And that's why, like, there's no magical, like, it's me because we love you. That's why.
Are you telling me there's no tooth fairy?
No, I'm not telling you that. I would never tell you that. But I always said I would do that. Like, it's, what's the big deal? Isn't it good? Like, why are we, you know, telling them obvious untruths and then building some sort of narrative that where they won't believe us in the future? Like, no, I did it because I love you. And because, you know, that we're celebrating the birth of Jesus. At least that's, you know. We're Roman Catholic. We're celebrating this, and this is the custom, and we're buying you the gifts because we love you. And then, of course, we go to Disney every year, and I wouldn't dream of saying that to my children right now. So it's like, yeah, I'm a big phony. And we go every year. So, like, by this time, like, we're a couple days away. Now I know what I'm having for lunch every day of the trip by now. Like, I know we're going here on Monday, we're going here on Tuesday, we have reservations for breakfast here, we have this on Thursday, we're going there on Friday. Like, I know the whole thing.
Mickey Waffles.
I know everywhere we're going, I know what we're having, I know what the menu is, I know what park we're going to, I know what pool days, I know when we're going to squeeze in mini golf. Like, I know everything. This trip, I have no idea. I have no idea. I know for a couple days we're going to a different part, we're driving a little bit. I'm also driving a Fiat. Hopefully my fat ass fits in it. I mean, that would be... I'm nervous about getting in the damn car.
I'd be more nervous about maybe, yeah, like scraping, like, you know what I mean? Like,
the roads are tight there. The roads are tight there. At least they do drive on the same side of the road. I don't have to add that. They don't drive on the left side of the road.
They're not.
No, I wasn't sure either, but no, they drive on the same side as we do.
Very interesting.
So that's a positive. I don't have to worry about that.
One last thing.
One last thing. As far as going, they may, if Forrest Gump, money, one less thing. No, but the thing we're concerned about now is how much luggage. We're there for a long time. We have two children, plus me and my wife. Like, how much luggage can we fit in the car from the airport to the place, considering it's a Fiat, considering there's four of us? You know, like, can you bring two big, large checked bags? Are they going to fit, like, in the trunk? Like, I don't know. Like, so it's that kind of thing. But then I know we're driving for a day or two to go do something else somewhere along the coast of Sicily, but I have no idea. I don't know what days it is. I've had my head buried in work. I haven't taken off since I took one day off around the 4th of July. I've worked every day of the summer. I was just doing the morning show. I've been kind of all around. So, like, I haven't really delved into the trip. My wife hasn't had just me to plan it with. She's had her sister. She's had her mother. Like, so it's not been us planning a vacation. She's been planning the vacation. I'm just like, what do you need? Where do I have to go? I got to go get an Italian driver's license. Okay, I'll go to AAA. Okay, we got to get the money exchanged. Okay. Which way did he go, George? Like, that's what I've been doing. I've just been taking orders and getting ready, but I have no idea what I'm doing. I don't know, and it's kind of, I think it's free-flowing, where I'm so used to the structured Disney trip that it's going to be fun to, like, kind of go there and just wing it a little bit. So I'm really looking forward to it. I have been to Italy before. I went to Rome.
Ooh.
We were, I had a great trip. I talked about it on the morning show. Me and my buddies went to Oktoberfest.
In Rome?
No. In Rome? No, I didn't go to Oktoberfest in Rome.
That almost defeats the purpose.
I went to Oktoberfest in Munich, Germany. And then I still haven't told the story on the overnights. I've told the story in the morning show how I saved a woman's life in Nuremberg, Germany. Saved a woman's life in Nuremberg, Germany. One day I'll tell the story on this air. Maybe it'll be today, depending on how the calls are. But we'll see. 888-808-1019. But we did Germany, we did Prague, we did...
Czech Republic? Or Czechia?
No, Prague is its own thing, I believe.
No, Prague's not a country.
No, is it a city in Czech? Yeah, I think you're right. Then we went to Salzburg, and I think that's Austria. I'm losing my mind. Prague is in Czech?
Prague is Czech Republic.
Yeah, Czech Republic. So we went to Prague, Salzburg, and then...
Salzburg is Germany. Oh, no, you're right. It's Austria.
It's Austria. Austria, yeah. And then we took a cruise from, I guess we flew into Rome, but we went Rome, Barcelona, Cannes, France, Marseille. So we did France, we did Spain, we did Italy on the Mediterranean cruise after Oktoberfest. That was a great trip.
You and the boys?
Me and the boys. Me and two buddies.
That's a good time.
We had a great time.
How old?
2013. Or 12. 2012.
So, like 27?
27 or so. Right? When did I, well, I turned 30? 28, 29? Late 20s.
Age.
Late 20s. I had just started dating my wife. Like, literally, we met that October. Right? The wedding was October? Yeah, oh no, but then the next year, it doesn't matter. Yeah, 2012. And I just started dating my wife before we went. And so I've seen Rome, but I haven't seen Sicily. So I'm looking forward to it. It should be a great time. But I have no idea what's coming. I don't know where we're staying. I don't know the city in which we're staying. I don't know the name of it. I think it's like, or the town outside of Palermo. I have no idea. I have no idea when we're going on our trip to the volcano. I have no idea.
Can I ask for one thing?
Can you ask for one thing?
One thing.
I mean, you can ask.
Let's see.
The Big Zoo's favor isn't going to be on the top of my list, though. I'll be honest with you. But please,
I think it should.
Okay.
My request from you, and if you want to include others, you're more than welcome to. I would love it.
Okay.
Can you give us one post a day a la Moose in Disney World from Italy?
I think I will. I'll do something. I'll have a little fun and I'll do Yankee stuff in the middle of the morning. It'll be fun. I'll sneak around and like do a Yankee video reaction or something, but
it'll be the middle of the night for us, but it'll be fun.
No, it'll be in the middle of the night for me.
Ooh.
You know what I'm saying? Like 4 o'clock in the morning of my time, I'll put out a video, but no, I think so. maybe some street food. I'm sure everyone will get a kick out of that. Me eating street food in the middle of Palermo.
I want to see you in the volcano.
C-Mac versus the volcano. I can see the it'll be the sequel to Joe versus the volcano.
Frying marshmallows.
Frying marshmallows, yeah. All right, enough of my own stuff. Let's get to you guys. 888-808-1019. Stuart in Brooklyn, what's up, Stu?
Good morning, Chris.
Good morning. What do you got going on there? What are you, operating machinery?
Yeah, I'm operating machinery to get the limo ready to go to Florida.
Oh, you're going to Florida?
Yeah, with four people.
Are you're taking four people to down to Florida yourself in a limo?
Yeah, Cape Canaveral.
That's a long drive in a limo.
Yeah, you know who the four people are? You can guess their names.
John, Paul, George, and Ringo?
George and John are not here.
Really? I didn't know that.
Come on, stop it. You're a Beatles fan. I'm kidding. You're as big a Beatles fan as I am.
I'm bigger.
There's one difference between me and you. I lived it.
I understand.
I lived the whole show.
I understand.
Nobody ever will touch them.
That's how I feel, but that's besides the point.
You know who said something about that?
Who said something about that?
Gallo.
What'd Gallo have to say?
Overrated.
Oh, my God.
And you know I went off on him, right?
As you should have, Stu. If I knew he said it, I would have went off on him. Tell him in all his soccer, Italian soccer shirts to go, sit on it and rotate.
Mm-hmm, exactly.
Yeah.
And the four people are Devin, Aaron, Brian, and Hal.
Oh. Are you being sarcastic?
Down there and put them on a spaceship, a rocket ship, to the planet Uranus, and never to come back.
Yeah.
I could put a couple other people, which I told Zubat. I told Zubat two or three other people that I would like to see go bye-bye.
Yeah.
No, but let's get back to baseball, please. The Mets and Yankees have the same record.
Yep.
And both seasons are going down the tube real quickly. And what do we have left? We have Jackson Dart to look forward to. And I don't know if he's going to play this year. I wouldn't play him unless the season went to hell.
Yeah.
And the Jets, the Jets look pretty good. I mean, let's say this much. I hope on opening day they stick it to, what's his name?
Rodgers. Aaron Rodgers. I don't know, Stu. If you heard me on The Morning with Willie, he's talking about how good Aaron Rodgers looks. I think... I got to be honest. I think the Pittsburgh Steelers are the most fascinating team in the NFL this year, bar none. I really do. They went out and made moves to impact this year. They're not just coasting on the idea that they're the Pittsburgh Steelers and they'll find a way. They went out and got DK Metcalf. They brought in Aaron Rodgers. They traded for Ramsey. Like they're making. They gave Watt the contract. They are making moves to go win this year. And it's either going to blow up in their face, or they're going to be the surprise team of the AFC. And I'm sorry, Jet fans, Stu, whoever else, I'm here for it. I am pulling for Aaron Rodgers. I am the biggest Aaron Rodgers fan. You have no idea. I hope the Pittsburgh Steelers win the whole damn thing. If it's not the Giants and it's not the Jets, I hope it's Pittsburgh. I'm a Steelers fan this year. I wanted him here. I wanted him with the Jets. Then I wanted him with the Giants. I still believe he's got one more year in him. I don't agree with everything he says. Hell, I don't agree with most of what he says, quite honestly. And all the nonsense he talks, all the things he says, how he views life and the world and everything else. He's an odd cat. He's different. But I find him fascinating. I think he's one of the best quarterbacks I've ever seen play the game. And I'm dying for one more year of Aaron Rodgers. And I hope it comes this year. I know that's at the expense of the Jets week one, so be it. I'm pulling for Aaron Rodgers. I hope this is a wild carpet ride out in Pittsburgh. I really do. And then, you mentioned the Giants. I mentioned Abdul Carter before, obviously. The one thing I like about what's going on with the Giants and Abdul Carter, I don't know if you noticed this so much. We talked about it a little bit. I think even CeeLo played the audio earlier in the week in the morning show. You can tell the veterans. Now, maybe it's just how they treat rookies in general.
What's on your mind right now? The song you can't get out of your head? That breaking story? Or that conversation you just have to be a part of?
That's the brand new song from...
This is a breaking news report.
He shoots! He scores!
That's radio. Happening now. Connecting you to what matters most exactly when it's happening. From the airwaves to every device you stream on, radio is everywhere you are. It's local, live, and it's for you. Tag your favorite radio station tomorrow on social media and use hashtag National Radio Day to celebrate. That's hashtag National Radio Day.
But the veterans are making a point to treat Abdul Carter a certain way. And I just, with all the talk that's going on, all the praises that are being sung about him, all the ball dinger videos of the six plays and how he's dominated and everybody else and every report is how unbelievable he is. Dexter Lawrence was asked about Burns, and Dexter Lawrence waxed poetic and said, Burns can do anything. He's stronger than people give him credit for. He can bull rush. He's quick enough to get around. He is a threat. He's going to impact the game and this team in a major way. Burns is an incredible football player. Then he's asked about Abdul Carter. Well, we'll see about him. That was it. We'll see about him. Then I just saw a video where Abdul Carter is standing at the podium to address the media, and Burns walks over and is like, get out of here, young man. Like he was like, my turn. Get the hell out of here. And brushed him aside, and like they're keeping this dude humble, and I love it. I love the veteran presence. You can't let this kid believe everything that's read about him. You can't let Abdul Carter in his head before he's ever played a game. This is the same guy who's asking for Lawrence Taylor's number. This is the same guy who asked Phil Sims for his number. This is a guy who wanted to be the number one pick in the draft, and you know, in another lifetime, when quarterbacks weren't the entire NFL, he might have been. He was the third pick in the draft. He's one of the most promising young prospects the Giants have had in forever. Everybody is gushing over his talent. And I love the fact that Dexter Lawrence and Burns are making sure that he understands, not yet. You haven't played a snap in the NFL. You are just another rookie here today. I love it. I think that's good for him. I think it's good for the team. I think Dexter Lawrence knows full well how special the kid looks. I think he knows full well. I don't think he's just saying we'll see because he hasn't seen yet. I think Dexter Lawrence knows damn well how special he is, but he doesn't want to say it publicly. And I think Burns coming over as the press conference is about to start with Abdul Carter, and he says, no, my turn. I'm here. I think that is all done intentionally. I think it's probably directive from the head coach. I think Brian Daboll ordered the code red. And it's, hey, this kid needs to know that he hasn't done a damn thing. And not because of, you know, not because he's acting like as if he did, but just the idea of, hey, he's no different than any other rookie. He's no different than any other kid drafted. He's got a ton to prove. And then he came out and made the statement that he wasn't going to cut his hair until he gets a sack. He apologized for looking gruffy, Abdul Carter, and he's not going to do it until he gets a sack. Like, I like the mentality that they have here. It's time to go to work. It's not time to, you know, talk about how great you are. I think I'm excited. I have to admit, as a Giant fan, I'm excited. As a Jet fan, I'd be excited too, but I don't know why it's a different level of excitement necessarily. I don't know if it is a different level of excitement. You do have the young quarterback. I don't know how Jet fans feel about Justin Fields necessarily. I think there's hope that he could be better than he's been. There's hope that this coaching staff can, you know, figure out a way along with, you know, Braylon Allen and it sounds like Allen's going to be the guy, right? I mean, Breece Hall is really, after that rookie season, has underachieved here. And it feels like Braylon Allen runs the ball and is that style of running back that they're going to ground and pound and be a nice complement to the flashy running of, unfortunately, Justin Fields, not Breece Hall. So I think the run game is going to be important. I think they have an opportunity to really be a functioning offense this way. And they're built on culture and beating the guy in front of you. That's what the Jets are going to be. And it's nice to have a competent head coach. And I'm sure there's a lot of enthusiasm and, you know, a lot of excitement around the Jets. And there should be. But when you take into account a couple things with the Giants, one, it feels like they have the chance to have a dominant unit. The Jets have a really good offensive line, has a chance to be a dominant unit. The Jets have had dominant defensive units, right? The front four might be the defensive backfield, you know, was. We'll see if they can be again. But on paper, the Giants have a chance to have a dominant pass rush. The Giants are finally done with Daniel Jones. I can't tell you the relief that is. I can't tell you the relief it is to be done with Daniel Jones. And it's not only because I don't think Daniel Jones is a great quarterback. That's not just it. It's that we're just done with it. We're done with, you know, Brett and I arguing about it. At least we should be. We're done with who is it the offensive line's fault? Did the organization ruin him? Is he capable of being better? Is it his fault? Is it the team's fault? Is it why doesn't you have more success with him? He did take you to a playoff game. Like, it's just, it was forever with Daniel Jones and it needed to go away. Needed to go away. And hopefully Neighbors is healthy. But like, I think they have good offensive weapons. And I think as long as Andrew Thomas is healthy, we're seeing now that Embo has really had a nice camp and a great opening preseason game against the Bills. And Luminor is a good tackle. We'll see if Evan Neal can transition and actually become just a productive player. Forget like a Pro Bowl caliber guard or a really stud guard. Forget all that. Can he just be a productive player? Can he be someone who fits into the offensive line? Let's hope. And if the offensive line can block it up, and you can get down the field with Neighbors, and we know at least Russell Wilson can throw the ball down the field, and you got a run game with Tracy and Scataboo, like, I feel like there's a chance to have a functioning offense with Brian Daboll. And the defense, while a little, you know, young in the defensive backfield, they did go out and sign arguably the best cornerback in free agency in Adebo and the best safety in Holland. They've got a couple of young kids in, you know, Drew Phillips particularly. And it's just, is that pass rush elite? And if it is, I feel like the Giants can really surprise some teams. And then you start the season on the road against two teams that, let's be honest, Washington's good. Washington was great last year. Jaden Daniels is an absolute superstar. But even if Terry McLaurin signs before the season starts, it's been an issue now through camp. And we'll see what that does to the team. And I'm not so sure they're so great. I don't know if Dan Quinn's that great a head coach in this league. And now you've had a second year to look at, you know, Kingsbury and you know, the quarterback's offense here a little bit. Like, I don't hate the idea that the Giants start with, against the Commanders on the road. And then the Cowboys, same thing. The Micah Parsons issue, the Jerry Jones issue, you know, their lack of success to try and get, it's a team that kicks the crap out of the Giants every time they play, but what would make you feel better than beating the Cowboys on the road to start the year? Like, I just think that these two games are winnable, and if they get them, it could spur them to just a better season than people thought. And then even if they don't, you got the first round draft pick, Jackson Dart, ready to come in there and show us if he could develop, and week one preseason was great with him. Again, that doesn't mean much to me, but it's at least the start of something new. Both teams are in this like new, shiny phase, which is something that is refreshing from this group. That was a little bit of NFL talk on the Fan, and we will take your calls on the baseball, on the football, 888-808-1019. NFL Talk on the Fan is presented by Paramount Plus. You can't count on much these days. But you can always count on Sundays with the NFL on CBS and Paramount Plus. Watch your local NFL Watch your local NFL game live every Sunday on CBS and Paramount Plus all season long. Visit ParamountPlus.com/NFL to get started today. 888-808-1019. Quick break. Right back with your calls next on The Fan. Lady Gaga is Italian and from Long Island. That's right.
Local.
That was a good movie.
Great movie.
I liked it. Yeah, I did. I liked it a lot. There was a, what's the other song? There's a couple songs that were really good, too.
There's the one that you guys used on Carton and Roberts.
We did. Yeah, that was the opening to the show, was that...
the song that Bradley Cooper plays.
In the way... Something in the way... In the Wayland? The... in the way... Something way... Something way. It's like the first song on the soundtrack, too. It's like the opening song of the movie. It's like heavy guitar, and it's like... I gotta... You'll, he's looking it up. And then... You got it?
Is it not Black Eyes?
No. Black Eyes is a different song. Or maybe it is. Maybe it's Black Eyes. I don't know. I thought it was a different song, and then it was like, what are the lyrics to Black Eyes?
Well, let's take a look. All right, I got the lyrics here. Mm-hmm. Black Eyes, open wide, it's time to testify. Those are the first two lines.
I don't think that's it. I got to look back and see it.
And I'm gone, sitting by the phone, and I'm all alone. By the Wayside.
By the Wayside. All right, but maybe it's called Black Eyes. By the Wayside. I thought that was the name of the song. It is Black Eyes. Okay. Because I just remember, by the Wayside. That's how I just remember. I don't know. But yes, Carton and Roberts. That was the opening song. That is right.
Great song.
I remember sitting in the upstairs when we first got together as a show, the first time we had the meeting. And it's, you know, Craig, Evan, myself, and Tommy. And he was talking about the song, and we're talking about the show, and, you know, I was crazy because it was November of 2020. So we still couldn't be near each other. There was talks about how me and Tommy couldn't be in the control room together. It was still right in the middle of it, which is crazy that we're going on, you know, it's been going to go on 5 years now, or more than 5 years. It was April, right? March, April, February. That was a crazy time. 888-808-1019. Steve in Rockland. What's up, Steve?
You know, Chris, you said something, and it dawned on me that if there's any coach that could get Aaron Rodgers to say how high when the coach said jump, it is Mike Tomlin, all right? That guy is going straight to Canton, all right?
Yeah.
And, you know, that is intriguing.
I think the Steelers are as fascinating a team as the NFL has this year. I really do. I think Aaron Rodgers is one of the more fascinating people, good, bad, or indifferent, however you feel about him. And I know he's a little bit of a polarizing figure. I don't care. I just find him fascinating. I find his play excellent, and I'm wondering if he can get back to it. And I'm wondering about a coach who, like, as much as we could talk about Canton, and you're 100% right, he's one of the great coaches in the NFL. Has been for a long time. He's a Hall of Fame coach. Absolutely. Two Super Bowl championships. Went to a third. Whole bit. Totally agree with you. But it's been a long time. And they haven't won a playoff game in a long time. And they have not gotten good quarterback play since Roethlisberger retired. And, like, they made, and they roll with it, man. They stick with just what they do. And the Steelers' way is going to win them games. And that's it. And they don't go flashy. They don't go for the big move. And they brought in Metcalf. They brought in Ramsey. They've obviously brought in Rodgers. Like, they've made moves here to try and go for it in a division with Lamar Jackson, in a division, you know, with Joe Burrow. I can't wait to see him play Joe Burrow twice. I can't wait for Steelers Cincinnati. I think that's going to be a fascinating, you know, I think it's going to be Steelers Ravens with Aaron Rodgers involved. The best rivalry, arguably, in the sport. You want to throw Aaron Rodgers on top of that? Yes, please. I can't wait.
And now, my other question is, okay,
mm-hmm.
What's the number if the Giants do surprise? Realistic.
I think 8 is a surprising season.
Oh, if the Giants would win 8 games, I'll tell you, boy, even though that's under 500, there would be a lot of rejoicing.
Absolutely. I think that's what I'm saying. 8. I think you could make a case. 7 would be a very. I think 7's a nice season. 8's a surprising season. Anything better than that's a shocker. Like I would say that. And I think they absolutely can. I think they absolutely can. In the NFL, we have seen it time and time again. I don't care what the schedule makers say. I don't care how we view the 49ers today. I don't care how we view the Chargers today, which, by the way, they lost Slater, their best offensive tackle. Like, and they have a quarterback who never wins big games. Like, so I don't know about the Chargers just yet. The 49ers fell on their face last year. Like, I expect them to be good again. They've been a great program with a lot of talent, but I don't know. I don't know what Washington's going to be. I don't know what Dallas is going to be. Like, we don't know. We could say the schedule's tough all we want. Once the game starts, we'll find out. And we have seen teams who are really good get off to bad starts, like the Cincinnati Bengals last year, and it ruins your season. And we have seen teams that we didn't think much of that get off to good starts, and it changes who you are. And I'm just telling you, I think if the Giants get off to a good start this year, which I don't think is crazy, against divisional opponents they know very well, who are going through issues and distractions and guys holding out, and, you know, for a young quarterback to have his stud wide receiver holding out, that's not good. To have Micah Parsons, kind of the face of the team, along with Dak Prescott, holding out, calling out the organization and how they've handled the negotiations, like demanding trades, that is not an easy thing to go through. Jerry Jones talking all kinds of nonsense. If they get off to a good start, I think they could surprise the hell of a lot. I just think they could. I think they could surprise some teams. And I still think with competent quarterback play that Brian Daboll is an offensive coach who can make it work. I don't think he was able to make it work with what he was given. He wasn't able to make it work outside of the 1 year where all he did was make Daniel Jones into a non-turnover. Like, Daniel Jones was a turnover machine. He coached the turnovers out of him. The defense made some big plays, you know, like turning over Lamar Jackson in the fourth quarter down 10 points and figure out ways to win. They got into the playoffs, and then Daniel Jones did play a great game against Minnesota. There's no doubt about that. Can't take it away from him. He was great against the Vikings, won them that game. But they ran the football with Saquon Barkley. They ran the football with Daniel Jones, and they stopped him from turning the ball over. They got off to a good start with a big surprise win in Tennessee that nobody saw coming. They showed balls by going for the two-point conversion to win the game. And it kind of thrusted them into the best season they've had in, you know, the last 15 years. The only good season they've had in the last 12. And I'm just saying, like, it might be another disastrous season, and we're looking at a new coach and a new GM and now a quarterback that was drafted by one group and now being coached by another. It might be a freaking disaster. I don't know. But I just have a weird feeling that this team is better than we think and that the schedule and how difficult it is overrated, or at least, you know, subject to the NFL season. And I think they have a chance to surprise people. I do. I'm higher on, and again, I admit it's probably a lot of it is that the Daniel Jones era is over. It's like a weight being lifted off your shoulders. As a Giant fan, it's just so refreshing to have that conversation be over. Not necessarily that I couldn't stand to look at Daniel Jones anymore, or that I thought he was so god-awful he was, you know, tearing the team down. I didn't think he was good enough to really win with. But with a really good team around him, can he win 8, 9, 10 games and get into the playoffs? Absolutely. I don't think he's a disaster of a quarterback, but I don't think he's very good, and it just became a toxic conversation around him that I'm tired of, and I don't think it helped the team anymore. So the idea that we're through with that, that you got Jackson Dart on the team, that you got Abdul Carter on the team, that you've got a young, talented team, and you might have an elite pass rush, like, I just feel good about the Giants. And hopefully it lasts more than hopefully it's not, you know, 35-10 at the end of the third quarter of game one, and you're like, oh boy. Eric and Ronkonkoma, what's up, Eric?
Hey, Steve, good morning.
Good morning to you,
going
sir.
Away. Since you're going away, I got four things real quick, if I may. First off, we have some friends of ours lives a couple blocks away that goes to Disney like multiple times every year, which is, I just can't see, you know, that's crazy to me to go, you know, same park that often. But
We had gone 3 years in a row, so this is the first year in the last four that we won't be going, and I have done a complete 180 on it. I do enjoy going. We have a good time. The kids love it. The place is just immaculate, and the hotels are beautiful. The parks are amazing. So
and expensive.
Well, yeah. I mean, that we do drive down there to kind of offset, try not to, you know, fly down there. But, yeah, there's no doubt it's expensive.
Yeah. I know you talked about it late last week, early this week. I met my wife in a bowling alley. Our first day was bowling, right? And we're still married 26 years later.
There you go. Bowling builds relationships. There's no doubt about it.
Right.
That's it.
You know, and you mentioned you were saying something about your son almost got hit with the baseball or something.
Yeah. So it was scary for us. It just bounced off. You know, he was going for it, and I was kind of reaching for it too. We both kind of missed it, and it bounced off the concrete of that wall and bounced back up. Now, I mean, it didn't hit him, so everything's fine. But it came like that bounce back. I just remember in my and who knows, maybe it wasn't as close as I feel like it was in my head, but that ball bounced off the concrete, 100 miles an hour, and I felt like it was close, a little too close for comfort. Oh, I got nervous for a second.
So, quick story: when I was in Little League, I played a lot of outfield, and my mom used to come to the games all the time. My father was working, so there was one game in particular where I'm out in right field, and. Halfway through the game, all of a sudden, the other team's up. I'm in the outfield. And all of a sudden, everyone's waving me in from the outfield. I'm like, what's going on? Apparently, my mother was sitting just past the backstop, caught a foul ball line drive right off her jaw.
Oh, my God.
And you're talking, I mean, when we were kids, they were using the aluminum bats.
Yeah.
So,
I think kids still use the aluminum bats.
Thankfully, nothing was broken. But, I mean, she had the bruiser on her jaw for weeks. It was crazy. But I had no idea from where my vantage point. I didn't know what had happened. And then final thing. Let's let Aaron Rodgers be. Mystifying and everything after week one. How about that?
We
don't need him being the most interesting person. Until after week one.
Yeah, I'm with you, Eric. Look, I'll be rooting for the Jets week one. I'm looking for a good Jet season, looking for a good Giant season. But I am fascinated by Aaron Rodgers. And I did want him here. I did want Aaron Rodgers back for another year with the Jets. And if it were up to me, he'd be the starting quarterback for the Giants, not Russell Wilson. But I don't think he wanted that. So I think he would have stayed with the Jets. I don't think he wanted to come to the Giants. But I think he's better than both. I think he's better than Justin Fields. I think he's going to have a better year than Justin Fields. I think the Jets would have had a better season with him than Justin Fields. And don't give me this whole, you got to build a culture here. You hired a culture coach. I was surprised. Even Willie Colon agreed with me. I was very happy to hear Willie Colon agree with me that it's not about bringing in, if you're going to hire a culture coach and someone who specializes in that, and someone you're bringing here to build something and you believe in his ability to hold the room and hold men accountable and all that stuff and build a culture, well, why are you afraid to give him guys that you're worried about culture with? Like, you brought him in so you can have the talent and build the culture. What about Bill Belichick all those years, right? Everyone said any, guy who just didn't fit in with an organization or had, problems, Randy Moss goes there and becomes the best version of himself. That's it. Anyone who struggled or had an issue, send him over to New England. The Patriots will turn him around. Like, if you're going to hire that kind of coach, why are we afraid of the idea that Aaron Rodgers is going to hold court in the back of the room while Aaron Glenn is talking in the front of the room? I thought this coach was beyond that. So, I would have brought him back. And we'll find out. And maybe this is all for naught, and he lasts 2 weeks before he gets hurt, and he can't play. Because as much as I'll wax poetic about him, and clearly he wasn't very good last year. He was better than most any other quarterback who's ever played for the Jets. But he wasn't Aaron Rodgers. And he's clearly, not only is it the idea that he gets hurt, it's that even just on typical bumps and bruises, like if he's got a sore knee, he struggled to play through that. I think that's fair in an NFL season. It's hard to imagine him not going through some bumps and bruises. But I do think he is going to be far better a full year removed from the surgery, from the Achilles injury, having a full season underneath his belt, I think he's going to be far better this year than he was last year. I fully believe that. I believed that in the offseason when I wanted him to be the quarterback of the Jets. That was part of my talking point. I felt he was going to be better this year than he was last year. And maybe it was time to just move on. We'll see. But I don't think Justin Fields is very good. And I'm nervous that if they do have one of these first-year nice seasons where it works out and the culture change works and, you know, the division falls back to them or they just have a good year and then all of a sudden you feel like you have to buy into Justin Fields and now you give him a contract because he's going to – and someone was all over me on Twitter saying, he's got a two-year deal. Yeah. If he wins games for the New York Jets and plays well, he's going to want to rip that year up and he's want another contract. I can guarantee you that. He's going to want more money. If he wins 9 games with the Jets, he's going to be demanding more money next year. You bet. You just watch. And rightfully so. Rightfully so.
What's on your mind right now? The song you can't get out of your head? That breaking story? Or that conversation you just have to be a part of?
That's the brand new song from...
This is a breaking news report.
He shoots! He scores!
That's radio. Happening now. Connecting you to what matters most exactly when it's happening. From the airwaves to every device you stream on, radio is everywhere you are. It's local, live, and it's for you. Tag your favorite radio station tomorrow on social media and use hashtag National Radio Day to celebrate. That's hashtag National Radio Day.
Let's go to Tommy in Astoria. What's up, Tommy?
Hey, Chris. How you doing?
Good, buddy. How are you?
It's funny. Whenever I hear Gaga, I always think of when Mike... Remember when Mike first came across Gaga when she was hitting it big, when she used to wear the crazy outfits? If you ever get a chance to listen to that, it was classic.
I vaguely remember that. Yeah. Was he around when she did the Super Bowl, too? I can't remember.
No, this is like before. Like when she first, when nobody knew who she was, and she won some talent show, she had this crazy outfit on. And I think it was even before you, so he would ask, like, Colin Lewis, did you see this Gaga? You know, and it was like classic. And this is before.
Yeah,
like,
I don't remember that. Know, that might be before me because I don't remember the Gaga.
She has some pipes. She really has some set of pipes.
Yeah, and I like Lady Gaga. I like a lot of this. I like a lot of the songs. And I thought she was great in that. I thought she was great in that movie.
No, the album. She
not so much. Not so much in the second Joker. Not her fault, but the movie sucked.
No. Yeah, I was going to talk about the match. Is just so depressing. You know, tomorrow night they're having this Beatles night.
I know that Beatles night tomorrow night.
Yeah.
Or tonight rather. Tonight.
And how he was talking about it. And it's really, it can't be overstated. And I never realized the significance of it. They came over in February of 64.
Yes.
It was just a few months after the Kennedy assassination.
Yeah.
And it really did pick up the spirits of the country. And whenever people talk about, like, the Beatles overrated, they don't understand. Aside from the music, there was three musical phenomena in the 20th century America. You had Sinatra in the 40s. You had Elvis in the 50s. You had the Beatles when they came over in 64. Mm-hmm. They just transcended music and had an impact
Absolutely.
On the country.
Absolutely.
And that's what when people say they're overrated. I always say their music is actually underrated. If their music just stood alone, they would mm-hmm. be great. When you throw everything else in, they're certainly not. I mean, I could talk about music all night because thinking about the Mets is just so depressing. You know, I talked to you 3 weeks ago. Unfortunately, I haven't been right about this many things this year. I liked a lot of Stearns moves, but I pegged with Helsley. Sometimes you take a guy who's a closer and put him in the eighth inning, it just doesn't work. It's just a different kettle of fish, and it's just a hard adjustment. He's been getting lit up. He's cost him a couple of games.
No doubt. He didn't have a great – and thank you for the call, Tommy. He did not have a great series in Milwaukee, and last night he was brutal. Last night he was – and his fastball is being hit – at a ridiculous clip compared to what it was earlier in the season and what it was last year. He's not been good. It's been a tough trade deadline for both teams. You look at the Yankees and the Mets, we thought both trade deadlines were excellent. I think both fan bases, even if you were pissed at the Yankees and hate Brian Cashman, and even if you wanted to wait to see how it played out, I think everyone felt like the Met fan almost, I didn't know a single Met fan who wasn't happy or thrilled with the trade deadline. The Yankee fans are very much trepidatious about giving Brian Cashman any credit, but I even feel like the Cashman haters felt like it was a solid deadline. I mean, they brought in a bunch of players, and now look at it. I mean, look at it. They brought in Rosario, injured. They brought in Slayton, injured. Slater, right? They brought in, he's injured. So they're two right-handed bats off the bench, gone. Hopefully Rosario will come back quickly. They bring in three relievers, Bednar, who's now their closer, Duvall, who's blown two games, and Bird, who they sent to the minors. And McMahon, who started out really well for the Yankees, has cooled off and hasn't hit in 2 weeks. So, and then you get to the Mets, obviously. Mullins has done next to nothing. And Rogers has been okay at best. He doesn't strike anybody out. He's been beat by soft contact in a couple of games, given up some runs. And Helsley's been awful. Like, the trade deadlines, everyone loved them. They have not panned out, man. It is unbelievable. Nothing works for these two teams. Nothing. It's amazing. And please, don't let anybody tell you that the Beatles are overrated. It's absolute nonsense. One, yes, they completely shaped the 60s. Like, they were as influential in the 1960s as anything else, and it's one of those decades that shaped the culture of the country. So it's just that on that point, obvious. And then musically, I mean, they practically invented the album. Like, before the Beatles, like, yeah, they had albums, but it was like kind of a collection of songs that were designed to be singles that were put together. Like, you know, Sgt. Pepper changed so much. The Beatles, and every song is different. They don't even have like a real style outside of their early stuff. Like, it's, I don't know how anyone could say that. It's crazy to me. My man Mitch, what's up, Mitch?
Yeah, Big Mac, how you doing? So here's a few things for you. Get a pen down. ABC Parking. I forgot to text it to you, but ABC Parking, that's where to go on when you go on Sunday for your trip.
All right, thank you.
Okay, that's simple. You're welcome. Number two, you're talking, I don't know if you brought it up, but you're talking about the balls and everything. Like, even on Friday night when we were watching batting practice, when your son almost got hit with the ball, we're watching batting practice,
yeah.
Remember?
Yes.
And he had it on both ends, and it bounced off the wall. My God, holy catfish. That would have been a long evening, but they got it up today, right?
Yep.
It was okay.
Yep, thankfully it was okay.
Okay, now getting to the Yankees again.
Yeah.
You know, we talk about the trades that they made and everything. I think the Yankees are okay, and I keep on telling everybody because I drive, you know, I have a car service,
yeah.
And we talk about it. I think the Yankees are going to be fine. Let's win 2 out of 3 this weekend against the Cardinals. We'll pray what happens with the Astros, and after that, we get the Red Sox, and then we're worried about the Blue Jays. Maybe we get lucky, we get 3 games we're behind, and we get a great series in New York with, you know, Boston and the Blue Jays, because the Blue Jays are not playing the same baseball as they're playing, you know, 10 days ago. And, you know, and the bullpen is not so good. I mean, we're going to get 2 guys back in the next couple of days. And Bender's our closer.
Bednar.
I'm fine with him.
So, yeah, I'm sorry, Mitch. You're cutting in and out, and it's a little loud. Thank you for calling, though, bud. Yeah, look, the schedule here is, you know, you've got the three against... You got the three against, I thought I had it up. There you go. You got the three against St. Louis, and then you head to Tampa for a quick 2. Tampa's dying on the vine. You got to win both those games. Then you get the big 4-game set against Boston, but then you get Washington and you get the White Sox before going to the stretch that's really the dangerous part. So that you could break down the Yankee season kind of into 2 ways, right? Right now it's kind of easy with the Boston mixed in. You got St. Louis, you got Tampa on the road, but still, St. Louis is .500 and Tampa Bay is falling apart. Then you get the 4 against Boston at home. Then you go to 2 last-place teams, Washington, and then on the road to the White Sox. So throughout the next 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 9, 12, 16 games, you got 4 tough ones. In the next 16 games, you have 4 games against winning teams. That's it. 12 extremely winnable games and 4 against Boston. Then the beginning of September, that's the week right there before you have the last 2 weeks of the season. September starts with 3 in Houston, 3 at home against Toronto. Then you come home against Detroit, and then you go on the road against Boston. Houston, Toronto, Detroit, Boston. That's a tough stretch. Then you finish the season in Minnesota, Baltimore, come home for the White Sox, Baltimore. So, like, the last 2 weeks of the year, cake. The next 16 games, only 4 are tough. But there's that stretch of Houston, Toronto, Detroit, that the season, and Boston, that might dictate this entire season. So, I don't disagree with anything you just said. I like the bullpen. I do. Now, but they got to go out in there and do it. I like Weaver. I like Bednar. I think Doval has really good stuff. He's blown a couple games, but I think he's got good stuff. You're going to have Cruz coming back. I like Leiter a little bit. And despite yesterday's performance or the other day's performance, De Los Santos has been really good. I'm worried about the starting pitching. They need Max Fried to be Max Fried. Otherwise, this is all pointless. And hopefully Judge can get back into the outfield and this offense can get going. So I agree. Like, the question we've been asking a couple times, who's better, the Yankees or the Mets? Right now, I would tell you the one unit that seems in real trouble between all of them is the Mets starting pitching. So, I mean, ask me right now, I think the Yankees are the better team. I've been saying the Mets for the last 2 months. With the state of that starting rotation and the idea that Soto doesn't come up clutch, I actually think the Yankees are the better team. 888-808-1019, quick break, update. We'll come back, say good morning, and we'll take your final hour as we get to 5 o'clock in the warm-up show on this five-hour midnight ride all the way to 5 a.m. Be right back.
What's on your mind right now? The song you can't get out of your head? That breaking story? Or that conversation you just have to be a part of?
That's the brand new song from...
This is a breaking news report.
He shoots! He scores!
That's radio. Happening now. Connecting you to what matters most exactly when it's happening. From the airwaves to every device you stream on, radio is everywhere you are. It's local, live, and it's for you. Tag your favorite radio station tomorrow on social media and use hashtag National Radio Day to celebrate. That's hashtag National Radio Day.